English language teachers under the cover.
Hello and welcome back to English Language Teachers Under the Covers. Today we have a new series, that's been in the work for a while. It's a deep dive. It's the multiverse of methodology madness. It's actually English language teaching methodology exposed. And in this series we are going to look at specific methodologies, and we're going to kind of go over them, deep dive into them, explain how they work, and give our thoughts and opinions as English language teaching professionals. But first off, introductions. Hi, I am Neil Teacher of Team Teacher Fame, and I am joined by the Rudy Poody Rich. Rudy Poody. Professor Rich.
Can you, when you do the editing, can you edit it so that when I say Rich, it has like this really booming voice with an echo?
Yes, also, like a deity.
My PayPal address for people to send me those valuable bitcoins.
I might have a lightning as well or something like that.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I am Rich.
Okay, there you go. And hi everybody, how's it going? youtube.com/professorrich, like, subscribe, say hello, and today we're gonna really dive deep.
We're gonna get in there where, hold on to your hats, because today we are going loud and proud with the silent way method. You see what I did there?
Is it loud and proud? We're going quiet and not saying anything while the students do all the talking, no? Or something like that.
Something like that. The silent way, if you don't know of it, is a methodology part of the three. What are the three, Rich?
Yeah, the three founding methodologies of the 1960s and 70s that came together eventually to become modern community of language teaching. So you've got the silent way, you have Suggestopedia, and you have community language learning, I think it's called. The other one, CLL.
CLIL. Yeah.
No, CLIL's more recent. It's community language learning. It's, yeah.
Well, we're going to be looking at all of those, but today we're looking at the silent way. And rather than kind of going over it together, we're just going to go and show an introductory clip about what the silent way is with a little bit of a history. Let's cue that up.
The silent method. Developed by Caleb Gaetanego, the silent method is known as a teaching method based on student discovery, with the teacher staying mainly silent. But it's actually a little bit more intricate than that, and we are going to take a deeper look. This method often feels like Montessori for adults, as the learning is student-led as they explore this language world via physical objects, often with the Kussnier rods, and a lot of problem solving. There are no textbooks, no PowerPoints, and no other common teaching tropes that we might think of when we're in the classroom. The role of the teacher is to direct attention, assist student reflection, and provide non-verbal and verbal feedback if needed, especially in pronunciation, with the use of Fidel charts that indicate the correct pronunciation of certain letters without the teacher having to teach the pronunciation of the word in this color-coded system. The silent method adopts a building block approach to language learning by layering new language structures one at a time to integrate with the previous learned structures. And those structures are also being continuously reviewed and recycled as well, thus weaving a beautiful language tapestry. It's supposed to mimic that naturalistic way in which one learns their own native language.
Okay, so welcome back. I hope you have a little bit of a background now on the silent way.
I feel it's amazingly informed. It was really...
I thought so as well. I thought it was clear. It was concise. So now what we're going to do is we found a clip from... an American English channel, I believe, of the Silent Way being taught as it was taught back in the 70s or 60s or whenever this was filmed. And we're going to have and watch them teach with the Silent Way. So let's cue that up.
This afternoon's lesson, we're going to
a mustache
work on
is part of the methodology.
House,
by the way.
They're not the same. Look. No.
So the colors represent different sounds,
no,
right?
What is it? Yes, Horatio. More open.
I like the use of colors for sounds.
Everybody. Louder. More open.
So he's doing the schwa there. Mm-hmm. Is this a bit too soon to? I feel like there's a couple of things we could talk about.
Yeah, go into it. Let's go into it.
Yeah, so the colours definitely. I think colours can be useful for all kinds of things. I mean, just coming up with symbols and ways of representing things, whether it's pronunciation or elements of whatever. It's cool, isn't it? It's especially when your students get used to it. That's the only problem, is you have to establish it.
Yeah, that's the only issue, and you know, if someone kind of like, I can understand why someone would say, would poo-poo this, but you know, I say to them, well, when you're teaching the phonics, the what is it, the IPA? No, that's a drink.
The phonemics, the British phonemic.
You know, when you're teaching that in order to then be able to write out, you know, the words phonetically, it's the same as this, except instead of symbols, you're using colours. And, you know, for me, I think as a teacher, that might actually almost make it easier for students, because they can be like, oh, right, this is the same color, rather than having to kind of learn a whole new set of symbols. It might be a bit easier and more cost effective, time effective to do like colors, even though initially you're always going to have that lead time where you're going to have to teach how, you know, sounds are represented in whatever symbology or colorology that you have, right?
Maybe. I'm not entirely sure. I'm not sure you could map colors very effectively onto the entire phonemic alphabet, and that doesn't actually look like what he's done here if we take a look at it. But he is using color to show differentiation. Mm-hmm. To show differences, right?
Yeah.
For example, we've got one where ironically though, this one that's all kind of red, that's the one where he was saying the, and the one where it ends with kind of a yellowy thing, that's why it's the. And you might say, oh well, then the yellowy thing must be the schwa, which would make sense if we go up to the top left where we've got a, because he was doing it as right, the and but then you've got black there, it's not blurk, is it? And take, it's not turk.
That's true.
So I don't think it's colour for colour here. I think the colours are just to demonstrate that there is a difference between this sound and this sound. That's all I think is going on there. But it's quite interesting. I thought it was like a paragraph to start with, but now I see it's just a whole load of random words. So now I'm quite interested to see where he's going to go with this. Early criticism. Well, no. Actually, I'm not going to do it. Let's carry on.
The. Okay. Good. Okay. So you all, front row, come around the table here. What do you call this? Do you know? Of a house.
Is a fence.
Kind of like a fence. Called a floor. Floor plan. Have you ever heard that?
Floor.
What's a floor plan? Do you know? A floor plan.
The place where you build the house.
Okay, right. Good. So, let's start here. Okay. What do we have here? What's this?
Entrance.
Door.
The door.
Yeah.
Door.
Door.
Uh-huh.
Door.
Which one? This one or that one?
The door.
I think he's pointing to the colors again.
The door. Mm-hmm. The door.
The door.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The door.
The door.
The door.
Which door?
From the main door.
Front door.
There. A lot of publicity.
The door.
The door.
Take that out.
The front door.
Hall.
The front hall.
So, I sort of have to mention that, the finger thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
The finger thing had to come from somewhere. And it's very possible that the Silent Way is a big kind of instigator of it, because obviously that they're using your fingers to do things like that with pronunciation and with phrases. It's a big part of kind of modern communicative language teaching, isn't it?
Yeah.
Probably one of the biggest ways of doing like on the spot error correction with students.
Yeah, stress, syllable counting, word order, you know.
Yeah. What they call contractions. If someone's saying, I cannot go, and you go, I cannot go, and then you do this with your fingers or whatever, right?
You make a gun to threaten them into speaking correctly. Is that what you're saying?
Say it.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big one that we've got out so far. And he's got the blocks out. He's playing with his blocks. So I think you know more about the blocks than I do.
The consignere rods, they're very interesting. They've got a variety of different shapes and sizes. I mean, right now he's using these, and I don't think he has any particular reason why he's using red and blue. I think right now they're just blocks, but they can be, they do use the different colors, you know, when they're teaching or to show differences and stuff like that. And I think it's a very interesting way of teaching, because it allows, you know, with blocks it allows lots of building, but in turn when you have these students and you see the way that he's kind of eliciting words from them, if you kind of have some if they have a base level English, I think it would be a really interesting lesson to, you know, like have them stacking them, moving the positions. I mean, I do that all the time with flashcards, so you know, I don't know if this is just an extrapolation. What I do is an extrapolation from something like this, but it's very inventive. And when I was kind of looking into and researching this, I was also looking into how much a set of these would cost and stuff. They're quite reasonable, and you know, they're so multi-purpose. I like how inventive that you can be with them, and with how these simple things can be molded to just teach just about every sort of language point. But functionally and basically, you know, obviously you can't, you know, make an elaborate giraffe block. Well, maybe you could, but you know, for stuff like this and prepositions and, you know, like colors, floor plans, yeah, a whole bunch of stuff, even having them representing, you know, different words within sentence structure, I could see that being a possibility, but I don't think that they use it that way in the Silent Way.
Oh, they don't? Oh, that's kind of surprising. I would expect them to do that. Like you say, you could use it for word stress and stuff where you have different colours mean different things. I mean, the way that I see the blocks is basically it's another medium of presenting that's not the board. So I guess the idea is instead of just drawing things and writing things on the board, instead you've got these blocks and you sort of sit down with the students and it's a bit more tactile, and you know, maybe the students can get to sort of move them and stuff as well, can't they, like that. And I think it's just a it's a, for me, it's just a variety thing, mm-hmm. you know, because you could easily be using, he could easily be using a chalkboard here, mm-hmm. but then it's him standing at the front with a chalkboard and you've got old school chalk and talk style teaching, whereas here he's got them sat around the thing and he's playing around with the blocks. Anyway, I'd like to see where he's going to go with it. So far, what I'm seeing is that the language input, well, I'm not seeing a theme in what he's teaching. I don't know if we've got to that yet. And the language input seems to rely heavily on students. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of this idea that the students can all bring something that will teach other students, right? So, yeah, I'd like to see where it's going to go with that.
Okay.
And this?
The back door.
The back hall.
And the?
Front door.
Hall. Okay, so
the front hall.
Everyone.
The front hall. The back hall.
Okay. What about this room?
Living room.
Don't forget this word.
The living room.
Okay. What is it?
The living room.
And here?
The bedroom.
No.
The kitchen.
Let's put that here. Okay. So this is
the living room.
The kitchen.
Dining room.
Again?
The dining room.
The kitchen.
Okay, Abdurrahman?
The kitchen.
The bathroom.
Again? The bathroom.
Bedroom.
What's the sound?
Bed.
Okay, so everyone?
Bedroom.
Don't forget.
The bathroom.
The kitchen.
The living room.
The dining room.
Start here.
The other side.
Keep going. The other side. Okay, so start here.
The side wall. The other side wall. The front wall.
Just a minute. Gideon.
The front wall.
Now, Jesus, put living room with it.
The living room.
You need to use this word.
Living.
Gideon.
The front.
Yeah, Shari. But start here.
The wall.
But which one? That's a wall of the living room.
The front wall of the living room.
The side.
Okay. So, I think obviously you've done the a bit more of the research on this more recently, and mm-hmm. I'm kind of watching this and just trying to reconfigure the rationale for mm-hmm. why they're doing things the way they are. I think the idea here is that the students having to think and engage and work things out from the pieces that he kind of drip feeds to them is mm-hmm. part of the component which enables them to learn and remember the vocabulary input. In other words, the act of them having to put all this together and engage in this way, rather than him just drilling the front dining wall, okay, the back kitchen, you know, like that. Instead, he's giving them chunks and pieces and assigning them some meaning and getting them, and they're all, you can see that the students here are looking at him and trying to work all this out. Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to stay with him, mm-hmm. So that it's not just speak and repeat. Mm-hmm. You know, they're doing stuff, and mm-hmm. I guess is this the rationale of why they do it like that?
I think you pretty much nailed it there. What it is like so. If we go really deep, when we're talking about lexi, words and language, when, you know, when we've talked about this before, but when I say a vehicle, we all have in our mind what a vehicle is. When we say a cow, we all have in our mind what a cow is. It's part of a shared reality. So when something like this, when he's teaching something like this, what he's doing with eliciting, they're almost building this reality together. They're being very creative while learning the language from each other. That's why they're so engaged. Notice he didn't say this is the bedroom, this is the bathroom. He pointed that out, and they subscribed that, and everyone was like, oh yeah, that's the living room. And you know, so they're building this this little reality together, and they're labeling together, and he's just kind of like guiding them to, well, what might this be, what might this be called, and then, you know, kind of disregarding or, you know, like chopping out the ones where it's you know, wrong. But I think that's one of the key components of this method, is that it's as you say, engaging students in the critical thinking, but I think more in imagination, and it's a shared imagination, because it's not something that they've been lazily presented as a flashcard. It's something that they've worked towards and kind of agreed upon, you know, with all these students, and it's very interesting. And I think to go to what he's trying to do with this class, I think it's for the pronunciation, he's doing the and the, but also through the means of this floor pan, you know, front, back, you know, prepositions. It's a big thing in the silent way. But again, it's one of the prepositions, one of the hardest ones for language learners I found in general in my teaching career. And it's, you know, this methodology just leans so heavily into it as well. It's great, but the idea of this shared reality, this shared imagination, I think it's really what really captures the students, because whatever they're throwing out there is being integrated and it's building this world, and you can see they're just so into it. I love it. I think it's fantastic.
They are into it. Yeah, I agree with you. I think the shared imagination, or whatever you've called it, is definitely part of what's going on. And it does appear that the theme of the lesson is getting on to, like you say, the floor plan, the way of a house, and it is true. People do. I mean, prepositions are difficult in any language, whether they're called prepositions or particles or whatever you want to call them. Those little words which seem to be interchangeable, don't have any meaning of their own, but attach very specifically to other verbs or nouns, right? Mm-hmm. And here he is teaching it phrasally. Fantastic.
And by using these particles, prepositions, these little connector words, via the floor plan, the vocabulary that they're building now, it's how we kind of learn naturally as well. It's like, oh, it's not, is it of next to this? So they're thinking about it, but they're thinking about it on top of this layer of vocabulary that they've already built, because they've already labeled the floor plan. He didn't do that. They did that. They created that. And then he's asking them to prepositionally position those throughout, so it's layered. It's onion teaching.
It's giving them a. Is that going to be your book?
Onion teaching.
Onion teaching by Neil Travis.
Bringing tears to students' eyes. Yeah, I like it. I hear the tagline.
the teaching of 2025. I've totally forgot what I was going to say now. Oh yeah, that's it. It's giving them a contextual experience with the prepositions.
Yeah, but it's a contextual experience that they've created.
Right.
That's what's so genius about it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's the social interactive element, and then the floor plan. And I also like the way he's got like the whiteboard, and he's got the other board with his sort of random chunks of words on that he keeps kind of referring to as well. It's interesting that the board of words that he has, actually, it kind of reminds me of like when I sometimes when I'm trying to remember like a diagram or something that I've written, like I'll write it down on a piece of paper, and then later, like when I'm thinking back, you might be able to relate to this, and I'll sort of think, oh, I need to know that word, and I'll think like, oh, it was in the top left of the page, you know what I mean?
It's called a memory palace. I don't remember the technical scientific word for it, but it's how people in the past would memorize these. You would have these memory masters. It's very interesting. There's a very interesting book out there. I can't remember what it was, where someone became learned how to become a memory master. I'll put it in the comments below. It's an absolutely fantastic book, but the idea of we think visually, so you put when you're trying to remember a deck of cards, you put them in different rooms, and in that room, you know, like there's a statue holding that card. You do it this right. That's basically what you're describing, a version of a memory palace. It's so Sherlock.
The method of Loki.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, method of Loki. Yeah, I think it's Loki. Sir Cicero discovered the method of Loki. I'm referring to Wikipedia here. Anyway, yeah, it's cool. So we got all kinds of stuff going on here. Whether it's intentional that's supposed to be the Mayan palace or not.
I think it leans into it, definitely.
There's got to be a reason why he's got those, because he hasn't got those two "thes" together, has he? Even though, you know, there's no sentences there, so there's definitely something going on there. Mm-hmm. All right, are we ready?
Yeah.
Wall of the living room. The back wall of the dining room. The back wall of the kitchen. The side wall of the kitchen.
Let's change groups now, and the other group come and sit down.
I was just about to make a comment about that. And then it's like, boom, change groups. Kind of reminds me of like you're like observing a class or something, and you're like writing down, you're like, ooh, this has been going on a bit and they haven't changed groups yet. You're just about to write it down, and it's like, okay, everybody else, swap groups around. And it's like, oh, tick.
And where were the expletives of when he was like, there was no expletives for changing over, just, you know, like he was very politely just saying, exactly. I mean, come on. It's the silent way. I would expect him to at least flip the bird.
You at the back, get the, yeah.
All joking aside though, yeah, I was expecting something at least.
Okay. We said something, didn't we? What do you mean? Have you been serious?
I thought No, I wasn't being serious.
All right.
I really don't.
He should have flipped on the bird. Who doesn't change groups by flipping the bird?
This is not the Gordon Ramsay method. This is the silent way. We'll review that later.
Listen, kids, you want to get an A in the CELTA? All right.
Okay. A bed in the living room.
A table.
Okay.
Chair.
Maybe sofa.
Siti, where shall we make it?
Sofa.
Okay. Which is it? This.
Isn't that great? He's just he's getting them to label these blocks. Like, this is a table. This is a bed. It's a dog. A cat.
In the, it has to be close to the wall.
Okay. Start with this, Felix.
Put it close to the front side wall.
Again?
Put it close to the front side wall.
It's cool. It's very cool how he's building it like that. It does remind me of something that we will have to look at some point, which is Adrian Underhill's sort of method and the way he uses the phonemic chart. And it appears to lend quite a lot from the way that this guy is building stuff. Mm-hmm. And the way that he's pointing, way that he was kind of jumping around those prepositions then and building things up, that reminded me a lot of the way Adrian Underhill presents how he uses the phonemic chart that he designed, mm-hmm. the grandfather of communicative language teaching phonemics, I guess. The grandfather, is that fair? I meant to say the godfather. Anyway.
He's not that old, I don't think.
That's why I called him Godfather. Also, we want him on the podcast. Adrian! We are going to get Adrian. We better do.
Yeah, we will.
I'm going to try. I sent an email off to somebody, but I couldn't find his email address. Anyway, the other thing I think it's worth mentioning is I think he's got like 20 students in the room here. It's mm-hmm. quite a lot of adult students to have this sort of, this level of, this kind of class, but he seems to be holding it well together.
One criticism that you could say of this is There's not much in terms of production from the students. He is getting it from individuals, but it's just it's very teacher centric and teacher centered. So I'm wondering if there's going to be some aspect where they can put them off into groups do their own, give them their own rods and they can sword fight or whatever. But yeah, I think that's kind of my biggest criticism so far is it's all coming through him, even though it is really engaging. You can tell that those that aren't participating or stood at the back are still kind of going through it in their heads. They're not switched off.
Yeah. We'll have to see how it goes with that, I suppose. It's very possible that the method isn't designed to incorporate a lot of production, as you say, but let's see.
Oh, a bit close to the inside.
No, stay with the front. You're okay.
Put it
inside.
Put it close
to the inside.
No.
Side wall.
To the
front wall.
Front.
Put it to the front wall.
Near to the front wall. Stay with close.
Put it close to the inside wall.
Put it close to the front wall.
Is that okay? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay. What are these?
Chairs.
Let's make them chairs. What kind of chairs?
Armchairs. Armchairs.
Where shall I put them?
Around the tip.
Around the table.
Table, yeah. Okay, you want a table chair.
Yes, I want a table, yes.
Okay, what kind of a table is this?
Near the...
Coffee table. Which one?
The coffee table.
Okay, now where shall I put it?
In front of the sofa. Yes.
Oh.
No. Close.
Close
to the sofa.
I liked that.
Close to the sofa.
In front of this. Keep going. The
sofa.
Close to it.
Good. Felix, can you say the thing?
In front of the sofa. Close to it.
That's it. From the start.
Put it near the outside wall.
Near the outside wall. Okay. So could you say the whole sentence, Shai?
Put it at one
end of the sofa near the other side of the wall.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. How about this one?
Put another at the other end of the sofa. Near to the inside wall.
Let her do it.
So I think one thing that seems to be standing out is the elicitation,
mm-hmm.
and how he kind of deals with that in this kind of environment. And we definitely see that coming through in a lot of modern classrooms, don't we? People who are really good at elicitation,
mm-hmm.
They kind of look a bit like this guy when they're doing it, right? Sort of the way that he's like doing this kind of stuff with his hands and You know, that kind of elicitation.
They have that ability to generate the look of helplessness, like, oh, what is like, what is this? So the people feel the need to fill that kind of void.
And also just being able to manage like the classroom in a way that you kind of try and get a suggestion from over here, and you, you know, you can kind of hear they're saying the right thing, and then you know, and he's like piecing things together like that, you know, keeping it kind of very student centric, which is what The Silent Way really seems to focus on, doesn't it? It's very student, student centric.
He's almost a conductor
coming,
in a way,
a little bit. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
One thing I want to point out and talk about a little bit is, okay, so, you know, they've got these people that they're building up these sentences. I would actually like, previously I've seen him do it where they've got the correct sentence together and then they do the choral kind of drill. I'd like to see more of that, you know, like especially that long sentence that guy gave, because I'm not sure how many, even though they might have said it in their head, I still think it's good to have it, you know, out and vocalized as well, especially when, you know, he's so heavily focused on pronunciation. I'd like to see more of that, you know, because just doing a quick, you know, twirl with your spin with your finger, and you could easily just kind of get that out there. But I think that would, for me, alleviate a more of the, you know, all the students aren't speaking sort of aspect.
Yeah, I can see how that's definitely a bit of a thing, isn't it?
Additionally as well, I mean, I think you have to point out that, you know, he made quite a long sentence with many connectors, many prepositions, and he was very well done. It was perfect. He said that, but what we've not seen with The Silent Way is that written down. So, you know, what we're seeing here is a very productive and receptive element of listening and speaking, and, you know, to an extent reading, but where's the writing? That's the kind of the big fault that I'm seeing so far with The Silent Way. I'd love to see, or I couldn't find anything about if there's an element of writing with the class, you know, like where, you know, maybe for homework they've put this down, or and how that works out, you know, will it translate well? I'm not sure.
There's not every method needs to have it, does it? I mean,
no.
Like Michelle Thomas doesn't make use of writing, does he?
No.
I suppose it depends, but yeah, it's rightfully so. I can notice there is a lady here with a notepad.
Yeah,
but she seems to be the only one. I guess it's her choice.
Well, I'm mostly just wondering myself. Like, say someone goes through this methodology, how well it translates from them speaking, if they speak very well, to being able to write it down as well. It'd be interesting to see.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Near.
Near. The. Inside.
Wall. Put it next to. Next to the side wall.
Is that what you want?
Put it. Is a. Next to. The. Inside wall.
What's this?
Table.
Which table?
Dining table.
Keep going.
Dining table.
Which one is it?
Church.
Go back to the table.
The dining room table.
The dining table.
Can you just say the
dining
Table.
The dining room.
Room table. Table.
Mm-hmm. And this?
Chairs.
Around the dining room table.
Interesting that, isn't it? That he wasn't happy with the dining table. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would actually call it a dining table. So I don't know whether that's something that's changed, or it's American English, or if it's just...
Well, I think it's more of a... it's more of an open English, because, you know, you might see him, you know, they might put a table in the bedroom, and then that's easily becomes the bedroom table, and then the living room table, you know, rather than, you know, you can't say the living table. So yeah, it allows more play with the words. I mean, that's my interpretation. But
yeah, but that kind of thing would be a criticism for me.
Oh, really?
I think that's something that I used to do a lot when I first started English teaching, that I tried to present the language in a way that it was logical, like as almost to say, look, English is logical, you know, and I kind of present, and the things that aren't logical about the particular thing I'm teaching, I'd kind of be like, you know, so like if you're teaching like present simple, you don't mention have you got, you know, you just get, just forget about have you got, we're just going to do, you know, mm-hmm. do you have all the time, everyone say do you have, you know, I don't have, and just forget about have you got, but in reality it does exist and you can use it and it's functionally equivalent to do you have, and mm-hmm. you know, and whereas my approach these days is totally the opposite. I'll present the logical stuff and then I'll just present the illogical stuff as well and say, by the way, this doesn't follow the rules. You know, this is what people are going to say this all the time. You might consider it to be somewhat irregular or something like that, but mm-hmm. in the reality, rules and grammar and stuff like that are just things that we put on the language. Mm-hmm. It's not that language itself really has those things, and I think something like that would be happening there if that's what he was doing, if he's simplifying it, because mm-hmm. then if that really is the case and he goes out the classroom and you have a whole bunch of students who are then calling things, you know, the bedroom table and the dining room table and stuff, it's true, it's functionally correct, mm-hmm. but in reality what do people actually call them? Dining table, bedside table, I don't know, what do you call the kitchen? The kitchen
kitchen table.
No, what do you? It's not a table normally, though, is it? It's like the side thing. But yeah, I suppose you could have a kitchen
ironing
table.
Board.
And the bathroom, you wouldn't have a table, would you? You'd have like a stand or something. You know what I mean? Like it's that would be my.
Who has a table in the bathroom?
Well, people have like language, eh? People have stands, don't they? They have stands. They have people have collections of.
Obviously, they don't live in a
molecules.
A terrace house in the UK. They're living in a mansion in the US or something like that. Well, they've got a pet tiger in the bathroom or something.
Yeah, probably, well, if this is
where's the tiger? It's next to the kitchen.
Probably around about the time this was made, people just had one room in their house with the bed, the toilet, the TV, all in the same.
Yeah. Room. Yeah. This sounds like a good house. But anyhow, should we get back to
a room? A room? We would have killed for a room. We used to sleep. Okay, I can't do Monty Python impression.
Okay. Good.
Around.
Okay. Good. Okay. I want you now to take your paper, and I want you each to write one sentence using something new that we have said about the house. Okay. So something that.
Here's the writing. I'm so happy.
Okay.
It was new.
Not
about
only
the house.
Is it writing, it's maybe it's a bit of a stretch to call it production, but it's definitely free of practice, isn't it?
Definitely not, free of practice.
But controlled.
This might be going into some other activity. We don't know what's this. It kind of feels like a setup at this point. It's the beginning of the heist. They're going to be like, can you just write one sentence? You'll be like, no. God damn it, you bastard. Pull me into another activity.
Punch the play music button on the audio mixer, Neil. We're getting into the plan. Make the tech come up. The setup. This podcast is now going to become a heist movie.
You son of a bitch, I'm in.
You son of a bitch, I'm in. What was that from? Was that South Park?
No, that's Rick and Morty. The heist episode.
Is it the new series?
Yeah. There's a heist episode. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. It's good that it's come back, that, because I thought that season 4, I think, wasn't very good, and then this one, I think, which is season 5, is that right?
I've lost track. There was a dip. Not the dip that we normally talk about. Keeping it relevant.
Okay.
To write, you know, the one dip. Sentence.
Oh, the dip.
The dip.
Of course.
Okay.
I've got a dip.
Yeah.
Could you read some of your sentences? Hassan, what do you have?
The dining room table.
That's not a sentence, though.
The dining room table is in the dining room.
Again?
The dining room table.
Uh-huh. That's not a sentence. Where was the expletive?
That ain't no sentence I ever heard of. Now get it, your fucking finger. I actually said the F word. You have to bleep it out.
Okay.
The dining room is in face of the bedroom.
Okay.
Face. Oh.
In French, that's okay, but in English, we change it just a little bit.
Facing.
Yeah, but careful.
Facing.
The more I watch this guy, the more I like him. I think he's having a great time. He's kind of like keeping it calm, but on the inside, I think he's laughing his ass off.
Maria, your sentence then?
The living room is in facing. It's facing the dining room.
Right. Because it's hard to know where the front is.
Yeah. Well, you're not supposed the front is where the front door is.
That's the front, but it doesn't mean that that's where in front of is. Because in front can change, right? This chair is in front of the table.
It's just shooting them down left, right, and center.
The table is located in the space between the sofa and the middle armchair.
Oh, okay. Good. Let's try one more. Gideon.
Puts the dining room table in the right position.
Or position or in the right
place.
Mm-hmm. And let's try one more from over there, Mohammed.
The recorder is on the side table of the sofa in the living room.
The what?
The recorder.
What's a recorder?
The tape recorder.
Tape recorder.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The tape recorder is on the side table of the sofa in the living room.
So you mean a table that would be...
Yes.
Here.
Beside the sofa.
Right. So you call them side tables, or what's the other word?
The other?
No, instead of side, use this word.
Other.
At the end of the table. But what... Say yours again.
The recorder is on the side table of the sofa in the living room.
Okay, and you can change.
He thought he was so smart.
This word.
I kind of feel so a bit sorry for.
Yeah, I kind of do too.
Down here,
because I was like, that's pretty decent, and yeah, it kind of feels like he's nitpicking a little bit, but you know, maybe it's something they've previously covered, so he wants to drill it home.
I don't know, but yeah, I think it's okay to nitpick, but I wonder, it's just this particular student maybe was quite proud of their sentence, and maybe he could have done with just throwing some praise, because if I see a student's face drop, like this guy's face has kind of dropped, right, because he's kind of like this now, isn't he? He's almost like looking a bit afraid. The recorder.
The thing that I listen to my wife talk.
I've been using this word for 20 years. You can't tell me it's not a recorder. It's like, all right, that's cool. You can call it a recorder. So I think it's worth, you know, I would have thrown out, good job, Mohammed. That's really cool. Let's improve that.
Yeah.
VCR, right? Oh, side table, yes. You know, you could call it a side table. And I actually really think you could call it a side table.
Yeah, I think, too.
I do. So, you could call it a side table. We're going to call it a, I don't know, what is he going to call it? I don't know what he's getting at. The boudoir. Wait, what is a boudoir?
If you're using the boudoir as a side table in your bathroom,
Oh, is the boudoir the thing that you clean with in
France? I think maybe we should move on.
The recorder?
The recorder is on the side, on the end table of the sofa in the living room. Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. Let me ask you then, what did you find that was new? What did you learn that was new in talking about the house?
Interesting feedback.
The use of prepositions? Judy, anything? Did you learn anything new in this?
No.
to put the furniture as a in the right position.
Mm-hmm. In the right
place.
Right place. Good. Thank you very much.
Okay, so before we kind of talk about the silent way, just as a total, you know, giving our final thoughts and stuff, what I would like to say with that particular one was I think the ending, rather than the feedback, he should have just been dishing his rods out and getting them to make their own little, you know, floor plans or whatever, and, you know, having each other, you know come up with their own floor plans, and they've got to talk about their own house or something like that. There's just a wealth of activities that you could then just set them off on. And then that's production for the rest of the class, and just walk around.
I mean, very possibly that is what he does. Maybe we're just seeing a segment of this. I mean, it was only 15 minutes, wasn't it? Presumably the lessons are at least an hour.
Yeah.
So possibly that is what he does. You know, he sends them out, and the students have a play with teachers' rods.
Yeah. Yeah.
So under the covers, folks. Under the covers. That's where we're going. Deep dive. Exposed. So, I agree with you. I think, yeah, the production would have been the thing that would be very interesting to see at the end there. And, yeah, we can probably agree that, I don't know, over the top. I mean, the feedback's fine. But, yeah, I feel like I would maybe, if I was watching that, I might say, hey, yo, man, love the class. Maybe a bit more awareness of whether students feel like they're getting beaten down by your over correction. Yeah. But otherwise, yeah.
Well, thinking off the top of my head, how about this activity? Rather than just writing down, you know, like sentences randomly from the words that they've done, why not sketch out your own floor plan in your house, write out the sentences to describe it, and then use that to describe your floor plan to your partner in a production activity. Boom, there you go.
Yeah. I think there's definitely things you could do with a floor plan, partner per work. I think there's no reason why they couldn't do per work there. I mean, you know, the students had enough feedback that their head must be buzzing with ideas. So maybe that is indeed what happens next.
Yeah. What would you say about the Silent Way overall, in like a summary of your thoughts or you know, points that you'd want to discuss or something?
Yeah. Well, I think it is very clear that, you know, it's highly influential in really how the majority of communicative language teaching classrooms go these days. And I think there's, you know, there's some very interesting merits in there. You know, I think it would be really cool and probably welcomed by a lot of students for a teacher to come bust in one day and do these kind of activities and maybe incorporate them, some of them, into their regular routine. Mm-hmm. I think you can see the rationale is there, and it has its strengths and weaknesses, just like every other method. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's no sense. I mean, obviously the fact that we're doing methodology deep dive shows that we're not going to be sort of dogmatic about modern language teaching to say that it's the be all and end all, and you know, there's nothing to learn from these other methods. I think, but I think it's very clear that obviously there is, and yeah, the it's really interesting to kind of get deeper into these things, because you know, I obviously doing the Trinity Diploma, we did study this and have to say things about it, but really kind of watching it now and talking about it and seeing it in practice, you know, it really helps kind of get your head around it a bit more.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the main point that I take away from the Silent Way, and I think, you know, someone watching this might as well, would be the amount of discovery that's happening, mm-hmm. and engagement with the students. It's almost the antithesis of rote, and mm-hmm. you know what many people consider to be kind of lazy teaching. Here's a flashcard, say this, or what is this flashcard within this sentence or something like that. Too much spoon feeding, and as you can see with these students, the level of engagement and thought that's going in and how they created that is you know, is astonishing too much, but you know, it's really good to see. And I think it's how we learn naturally, where we're just kind of like tinkering, how does this work, and then you're kind of looking at your friend, he did this, maybe I can do something like that. It always in my introduction I did equate the Silent Way to kind of like Montessori for adults, because it has that, it's so student centric, and
it's the learning through play elements,
exactly, and you know, it's kind of like an adult version of that. Drawbacks, criticisms, I'm not sure how well this would be used in a 30 plus class of students, how that would work. Smaller groups like the one that he has here, yes. Younger students, I'm not sure, you know, how well primary students would deal with doing something like this. I think we would be surprised, but I think it's going to be a lot more of a highly skilled teacher, classroom management wise, that can do something like this. But apart from that, you know, I don't really have that many criticisms. I enjoyed that he actually put in a writing component. I think that can be expanded on, and I think the group work can be expanded on as well. And there are other videos out there of people teaching the Silent Way, and on a video coming up, we will review and react to one of them, which is more of a modern example, where we can see a couple of different teachers teaching the Silent Way and actually being more silent, you know, because he did talk a lot.
That's the one thing I was thinking as well. Yeah. I mean, I kind of wonder exactly why it is called the Silent Way. I mean, I suppose it's supposed to be the idea that the language input is based on student production, and what's the other special name for those, that wall of words, don't they? Because she said it at the end in the analysis.
I can't remember it.
Whatever it is, but I mean the idea is that the it's not this teacher who's just saying, this is a banana, right, everyone, banana, right? Instead it's like it's coming from the students, plus the wall of words, plus the little blocks and how you put them together and everything. Yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's and the minds that came up with this as a method, it kind of feels like that's sort of what English needs. What teaching needs sort of now, isn't it? It sort of needs that kind of. We don't just want to expand the classroom and have an interactive whiteboard but online or whatever. No, we want to do something a bit more, you know, we want to get our version of the little blocks and start messing around with them and our version of the wall of words. You know, where are these kind of new different tools that get people engaged and get people kind of involved in something slightly different? And another thing I really like as well about this is it keeps the teacher engaged, because he's on his toes. right? The whole
and he's
time.
Very good at it. And I like how, for example, when he put the block down that was the table and he put it in the center of the room, and they said, was it, he said front or facing or something like that, like he put like a test in there, like he'd kind of already thought that through about, well, this might throw them off a little bit. You know, he's very smart, and he's kind of a sign of a good teacher in that you almost feel like he's not really doing anything, but he's doing an awful lot. And I kind of, I think with a silent way, it's almost like a Miyagi-Do teaching. You know, you don't kind of see it. It's wax on, wax off. It's like, oh, this, yeah. What's this? Oh, yeah, you did this. And then, like, how did I learn? How did I didn't realize I knew all these words or whatever.
Language teaching can be like that sometimes.
Yeah, and I think that shows a masterful teacher, and you know, this methodology lends to that as well, because it's all student centric and them working that out, and you know, doing things, and then looking back and go, oh, actually, shit, I've produced a whole bunch of words that I didn't know that I had, or you know, I've discovered them or found them. But remember, folks, that was, as you probably saw from the video cameras, you know, in that video, was from the 70s or 60s when that was filmed, very early on. And you know, it was a produced classroom, so we are going to be looking at real more recent classes of the Silent Way. So you know, remember to like, subscribe, and you know, hit that bell so you know when we have that react video to modern day Silent Way video come out, and you don't want to miss that out. And you know, we'll try and grab a teacher that's, you know, proficient in the Silent Way as well to come on the show and kind of go over in more detail, because you know, we're not Silent Way teachers, we're just, you know, big fans of the methodology. So if you are a Silent Way teacher and you love your methodology, and you know, you want to kind of, you know, explain it a little bit more, please, you know, shoot us a message, ELT_undercovers@gmail.com, or just, you know, go through our Instagram, ELT_undercovers, or even just, you know, message through the YouTube channel, leave a comment on this video. But we're going to be signing off, but Rich, do you have any final thoughts that you want to share about the Silent Way?
I was just thinking, I wonder how many kind of schools would actually specifically follow the Silent Way or teach it now. Obviously, there's got to be some somewhere. I mean, you've got those videos online, right?
Yeah.
There'll be some teachers that come across it sort of on their own right. But just think, I mean, there must be a couple of schools out there. I've never come across one.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of teachers will watch this video and they go, actually, I do quite a lot of this stuff anyway.
Yeah, and they've just kind of picked it up from community of language teachers that originally came through this. Yeah, I think you're probably right, yeah. So there's that. I think it was interesting to dive into it, and... Mm-hmm. I don't really have any massive ending comments.
No. Well, we will be doing more of these types of methodology exposed videos. So if there's a particular methodology you want us to look at, you know, again, leave a comment. And but, you know, we'll be having a look at the oldies first and then kind of moving into more modern stuff or whatever really tickles our fancy. But you know, if you have anything specific that you want us to go over, again, leave a comment below. I've been Neil Teacher of Team Teacher. Please check out my stuff at teamteacherchina.com. I've got lots of PowerPoints lessons that you can use in games. Also, we've got Team Teacher China YouTube channel. channel where we talk about teaching specifically in China. Got Team Teacher Baby, where I take my teaching experience and put it into my parental practice. And we've got Team Teacher English, where all those PowerPoints I've put into homeschool videos that kids can follow along. You can give us homework as well. Professor Rich.
YouTube.com/Professor Rich. Also, do YouTube search Prof Rich Gaming for gaming news and content. I haven't uploaded the video for about 3 months, but I'm all over that. This, you come to me for your PC gaming news. It's the next big channel. I just haven't started doing it yet properly. But go there. And if you are a teacher of the silent way, please do get in touch. In fact, if you are a teacher of any kind, then like, subscribe, and comment on the video, because there's not too many of you guys in the audience at the moment. We've got plenty of memesters. We are the memester channel. We've got those memesters memeing away, and you guys are going to be there memeing away, right? Oh, make sure you follow us on Instagram, because Neil's got some awesome memes flying your way. There's a pretty cool one about I was thinking about it before when we were talking about overcorrection, you know, the one where the thing's pulling the guy back and he...
Oh, and he's literally got the tear, yeah, the sweat.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the drop of sweat on his head. Yeah. See, we're caught with the memes, kids. Everyone wants to like, subscribe, and share this channel. All right.
Please do. Support us, and we'll keep producing this content.
PewDiePie is about to hit 110 million subscribers. We've got to catch up. Come on, hit that subscribe button. We can do this.
Okay, folks. See you. Signing off.